Money FM 89.3, best of drive time. Eurowatch.
Money FM 89.3, it's drive time. I'm Elliot Danker, going to take a look at some headlines out of Europe. North Korea's Kim Jong-un continuing his visit to Russia following talks with the Russian President Vladimir Putin over a suspected arms deal. The pair met a day ago at the Vostochny Space Center after Mr. Kim arrived in his private armored train. Meanwhile, we've got the U.S. saying Moscow is attempting to buy weapons to support its war on Ukraine. Let's find out more from this, take a look at some of the headlines and get some analysis from Antonio Fatas, Professor of Economics at INSEAD. Professor, good afternoon. How are you?
Okay, how are you doing?
All right, so this is the big headline, Kim Jong-un and Vladimir Putin meeting. The last time they met, it was a very different world. What do we understand about the evolution of their relationship since then?
I mean, I think what you're seeing right now is there's a collection of countries that are trying to find alliances around the idea that they have common enemies. So in this particular case, the obvious common enemy is the U.S. And given the invasion of Ukraine by Russia, Russia is trying to find as many allies as possible. Some of this is just politics. Some of it is trying to find sources of weapons or any other source of materials that they cannot access through sanctions with the West.
Okay. Were you surprised at all that Mr. Kim decided to visit Russia as his first post-pandemic destination instead of China, perhaps?
I mean, it's either one or the other. I don't think he has many other friends, so he doesn't have many possible visits to do, and he has to play for the internal politics and also the external politics to show that he's capable of sort of being part of this alliance against the West.
So, Professor, I'm just singling out these three countries, right? Russia, North Korea, as well as China. In terms of economics or their own country's economy, who stands to gain the most from cooperation?
I think there's more politics than economics here.
Okay.
I think Putin is trying, of course, to ensure that he has access to, again, materials, funding, and whatever else he needs to run his economy and the war. So Putin is the one who's more desperate here. I don't think China needs North Korea or Russia in any way. And North Korea, again, is almost an isolated country. Of course, any alliance they can find would benefit them, because otherwise they have very limited connection to the rest of the world.
Safe to say that should there be any potential trade agreements between Pyongyang and Moscow, you can expect a bunch of sanctions to come the way of North Korea or even both countries.
I mean, I don't think North Korea can get more sanctions than they have. So, it's such an isolated country. So, again, these are countries that if they trade anything, it will almost be barter. I wouldn't call it real trade because there's not that much that North Korea can sell to the rest of the world. So it's almost like case by case of certain goods, certain industries is going to be very spotty trade.
And economically, it doesn't seem that there's much Russia can offer as well. It just significantly raised its inflation forecast, despite President Putin saying price hikes are hurting businesses.
Yeah, I mean, I think Putin has obviously suffered a lot through the sanctions. I think the sanctions could get tougher. I think if the war continues, which is very likely, I think we might see a renewal effort to tighten some of these sanctions. And I mean, the Russian economy was already stagnating before the war. It's not that they've gone from growing very fast to stagnation. So he's managing an economy which is not very powerful, which is not doing great, but he has the political power. So I'm not sure how much he needs it.
All right, Professor, let's move on to talk about the State of the Union, State of the European Union, I beg your pardon, debate and what we can expect. This year's address by President Ursula von der Leyen is the last before the European elections in June next year. Let's talk about how successful she's been with pledges that she outlined a year ago. What are your thoughts and assessment on this?
I mean, I think she's done okay. Again, managing the European Union is not easy. You're not managing one country, one government. You're managing many at the same time. So one cannot expect sort of surprising results every term of a president. I think what she promised when she came in, I mean, she faced first COVID. I think the European Union managed that crisis, the pandemic, quite well. Then she faced the war between Russia and Ukraine. I think she's done very well there. I think she took strong leadership early on. She took a very strong position, which was not obvious in Europe, that was very dependent on Russia. And she has managed to use that leadership to take sort of all the European economy away from Russia in terms of access to gas and oil, et cetera, et cetera. So to me, that's those are big wins about events which are dramatic. Now, she didn't do it alone, of course. Yeah. It's all the other governments that are helping here. But overall, I think Europe has sort of been a very clear leader in the world in both events, during the pandemic and during now the Russia-Ukraine conflict. Mm-hmm. So I think that's what you want from her. I think you want to show that leadership. So Europe is a player in world politics.
What does this do for her? And I guess I'm asking because I don't really understand how this particular part works. Could she get another mandate as European Commission President next year? Or is it likely maybe another big job somewhere else?
She could get another mandate. Again, I think she's done well. I think she's sent some signals that she might run for re-election. So she might seek a second mandate. It is not always obvious in Europe to find people who do two mandates because sometimes you want to have a rotation of countries. Again, this is an issue. It might sound silly because you want the best candidate, but sometimes it's not just that. People think, okay, why don't we find now a person coming from a different country? So there might be some opposition just to get, again, some rotation of countries. At the same time, to be honest, once you have a good leader in place, the European Union is at a moment and the world is at a moment where continuity might be important. So it might be that she gets the re-election if she runs for it, because I think continuity is an issue now. Mm. We don't want to have a European Union that changes leaders every 5 seconds and doesn't have a clear strategy. We need that sense that we stand for something and we're going to continue doing the same thing for a few more years.
I don't know, Professor, when you have the words union in there, certain rights might be expected. But that brings me to my final point, Professor. I do wonder, moving forward, whatever happens, whoever takes over, what will be the priorities? What will be the guidelines they're looking at for the future?
I mean, Europe is very much, Europe as a union, is very much committed to some of the biggest fundamental issues we all face in the world. So the transition to a sort of green energy and green technology is a fundamental driver of the European Union, as it should, as other countries should have it as well. I think the geopolitical issues are fundamental. So having a European Union, which is a true power when it comes to geopolitical issues, is very, very important. And then there's another issue which is fundamental for many countries, and Europe is trying to fight this battle together, which is having sort of independence from other countries if we find future conflicts. So independence in terms of having access to materials, to certain industries, to certain products which are fundamental to have sort of the European economy running. So those are big three themes, they're not small, and I'm almost sure either her or her successor would be working on those issues.
All right, I've been speaking with Antonio Fatas, Professor of Economics at INSEAD. Professor, thank you for your time. Take care and have a great Thursday evening.
Thank you too.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at audio.sg or download the audio app. That's AWEDIO, audio at the App Store and Google Play.